Back in November, if you remember, I started a series called called Spirit Enabled. That was the name of it, just Spirit Enabled. It was a series dealing with what it's like to live a life that is enabled, empowered by the Holy Spirit. And what does it look like to even minister in a way that's empowered by the Holy Spirit? Aren't you glad that you are not left just to your own resources, to your own intellect, your own know-how, your own skills? We're not limited to that. But we as God's children have the resource of all of heaven at our disposal, really. You know, the Holy Spirit indwells us, and through the, through the agency of the Holy Spirit, all that God has for us comes to us and through us to a world that needs what we have found. So I want to read today from 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14. This is a bit of a review, because a little bit of review is needed, seeing that it was in November I started in this. This is just to restart our thinking. Here at the close of this letter, Paul writes these words of blessing. He says, may the great, anytime you see may the Lord, or may the grace of God, or whatever, Paul is making a declaration. It's the equivalent to what we call around here declaration. And as he would speak it, because this is in the scripture, we need to see that there is, and because he, as one of God's children, was speaking it as a blessing, it actually affected something in the people that received it. So as you receive it today, receive it as though God is speaking directly to you. Okay? May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God. You see, as we say, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace is the enabling power and grace of God for whatever is needed in your life. Grace is not just God looking the other way when you sin. That's not grace. Grace is God's power that keeps you from sin. It keeps you from sinning and keeps you, that delivers you from sin. It's God's power. It's also His power that brings the miracles. It's by grace. And the breakthroughs, that's by grace. Everything that comes to us from God comes by grace. Okay? So may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, and then this very interesting expression, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. That word fellowship can also be translated communion or even friendship of the Holy Spirit. So one of the things that this final concluding blessing in this letter is all about is blessing his readers and me preaching it too. It's blessing you, the hearers, with friendship from the Holy Spirit. Partnership with the Holy Spirit. See, we've been called to live out our life in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. It's the fellowship of the Holy Spirit peace that has largely been missing in evangelical Christianity. We believe in the Word of God, the Scriptures, but there's been a lot of prevailing thought, unfortunately, that all we need is the information, the text of the Scripture, figure out how to apply it in your life and just live that out and you're going to be okay. Now, I don't want to negate that at all. We need to study the Word. We need to know what the Scriptures say. But the point I'm making here is you really can't do that for very long and very effectively apart from the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, partnership with the Holy Spirit. You know, He's the one that brings all that alive and brings it into application in our lives. Holy Spirit does. So what I'm trying to cultivate in my life, and what I encourage you to as well, is to cultivate your friendship with the Holy Spirit. You know, there are mornings, I don't do this every morning. This morning I did. I woke up and said, good morning, Holy Spirit. What do you want to do today to glorify Jesus? What you want to do today to glorify Jesus? I want to be right there with you. Let's do it together. You see, that's the kind of relationship that we have with Him. And His sole purpose in the earth and His sole purpose in our lives is to testify of Jesus and to glorify Jesus. Everything He does is about glorifying Jesus. So I'm wanting to encourage us all, let's honor His presence when we feel Him near. Let's honor His presence when we don't feel Him near. You know, you ever been in settings where it seems like everybody but you was experiencing some sensation of the presence of God? I've been there. I remember the first time that happened to me as a kid. I was saved at age 10, filled with the Holy Spirit at age 12. But somewhere around the age 13, I came into a church service, and everybody around me seemed to be experiencing heaven on earth, and I didn't feel a thing. I thought that I'd backslidden. I thought something was wrong. I thought, oh my goodness, I couldn't think of any sin that I'd committed. I couldn't think of what could have divided me from the Lord. And it really threw me into discouragement because nobody ever bothered to tell me that He is the Spirit who will never leave us, who will abide with us forever, that it wasn't about the feeling. But we want to encourage that even in times we don't feel Him, that we acknowledge, you're there, you're here, you're in me. And so I honor you, and I honor what you want to do in my life today. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we're given a little more understanding of what this fellowship looks like. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 and following. There's two verses. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9, "But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love Him, these things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God." I'm reading from the English Standard Version there. What no eye has seen. You know, we used to think that this was all about the hereafter, after we die and go to heaven. You know, we haven't seen that yet, and this was all about what you get after you die. That's really not what this text is about. It's talking about those spiritual realities that have been made available to us. That aspect of the kingdom of heaven that we already have access to, that we're already a part of, the kingdom of heaven that's already within us. Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is in us. That aspect of the kingdom of heaven that we cannot see with physical eyes, well, how can we? It's almost like with our physical means, our physical intellect, our physical eyes, physical ears, it's like there's a barrier there. We can't get to it. But God cares for us too much to leave us in a place of blindness and deafness spiritually. He's given us the Spirit to reveal to us the things of the kingdom of heaven. This is why some people can sit right here, hear a message, and one group of people can be sitting here going, "I don't get it. I don't have a clue what this guy's talking about. This is a..." And then another group can say, "That was about the most right on thing I've ever heard." It's because there is a hearing on the level of spirit that's going on there. And if you're struggling in this area, it doesn't mean that you're not saved. It just means that maybe you just need to invite Holy Spirit to quicken your spiritual hearing and open your spiritual eyes and your receptivity to what God is really saying in a situation. But what no eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love Him, these things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. So the Spirit of God is continually working to reveal to us the things of God. The things of God. And we went into a lot of other things, talking and kind of laying a foundation back in November about the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives in many areas. But if you would turn with me to John 14, verses 12 through 14. Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do." You know, if you put a period right there, I'd be blown away. It just, what? You know, I believe in you, Jesus. You say I'm going to do the works that you do. The word there for works is the same word that He used for all of His miraculous works. And the context here bears this out. Even the working of miracles is what He's speaking of here. Especially the working of miracles. So, whoever believes in me will do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. I have no idea what he's talking about there. Now, I can lay it out for you there. Greater works than these that we would do. And I know there's some that say, "Yeah, I know exactly what that means." But because it's the greater works, I think that there's such a future for the church that we've not even begun to explore yet. Of what he wants to do through us. But here's the reason why he promised that even greater works could be done. He said, greater works than these he will do because I am going to the Father. And whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Once Jesus would go to the cross, when he gave this word here, he had not gone to the cross yet. Once he would die the cross death and be resurrected from the dead, and then ascend back to the Father in heaven and send the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit. Understand this. When Jesus was walking the earth, there was only one of him. There was only one of him. But once he accomplished the cross death, the resurrection, removing sin from the picture, that barrier that separated us from the presence of God, ascending to the right hand of the throne of God as victor over anything that would ever try to defeat us. And then the Father would send the Holy Spirit upon all flesh. The potential was exponentially and even more so multiplied. It was like, understand, I'm not going to go a false doctrine direction with this, but follow the context of what I'm saying. It's almost like we all became Jesus, in a sense. And that we can't, because of the Holy Spirit, I'm not talking about literally that we are the literal Son of God in the same sense Jesus is. You know I don't mean that. We're not a bunch of gods sitting here. That's not what we're saying. But His presence, His personhood, even the rights and privileges of Jesus, of access to the Father, become ours through grace. This is what it means to be in Christ. This is what it means. Every time you see in Christ, look at it through that lens. Anytime you see anything done in the name of Jesus, look at it in that lens, that we are fully His legal representatives in the earth. That we carry His presence in the earth. We carry the Holy Spirit in the earth. If you look, so then, when you look at the ministry of Jesus and see that it's multiplied over and over and over and over again, certainly the work of the kingdom that was taking place in Jesus is going to go much further. That's the model He established for us. It doesn't mean that we are any greater than He is, but the work of the kingdom, the advancement of the kingdom would increase. That was God's will from the very beginning. Because of His government and peace, of the increase of His government and peace, there shall be no end, was the promise. And so from the day Jesus left the earth unto now, the kingdom of heaven has been continually increasing. Yes, there's been some lulls here and there in history, but it seems to me that we're in a season of history now where that work of the kingdom is increasing. Yes, darkness has increased, but the work of the kingdom has even more so increased. You know, God is on the rise through His people. And so, when you look at it through that lens, it really helps us to see what Jesus might be getting at here, that greater works than these we will do. Now later, and when we get further in the series, we're going to see how these works were actually done, are now being done even. The Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost to enable us, the church, to fulfill what Jesus said when He said, greater things than these you will do. And one of the ways that the Holy Spirit does these greater things, or the works that Jesus was doing, is through the working of spiritual gifts. The gifts of the Spirit. It is the destiny of the church to minister supernaturally. Now, not everything that we do is supernatural necessarily. Like if I'm let's say I'm in a marketplace and somebody needs a door open for them. You know, it is an act of love to go and open the door for them. I don't have to have a word of knowledge to just step in there and open the door. I don't have to have a revelation to go help somebody carry something. Okay, so sometimes people can get so fixated in one direction in all of this, they think, well, you know, you guys can take care of all the menial things. I'm into the supernatural stuff. You know, now I think we disqualify ourselves. If we're not with, this is the guy named Charles Beach at Lee College when I was a student there. He headed up an evangelism organization on campus called Pioneers for Christ. And he had a policy. He's one of the faculty members. He had a policy that whenever these teams would go out to minister, whether it be in other towns, other churches, other countries, that if somebody was a newcomer on that team, all these preachers wanted to preach. You know, these evangelists wanted to evangelize. You know, people want to do these mighty things. But he required of them, said, before we ever let you preach, you've got to make the peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. What? I'm called to the ministry. That's right. Make the peanut butter and jelly sandwiches for the team, the lunches. Oh, and also you're going to help the ladies carry the luggage. Sir, you know, the heart of, I'm here to serve. I'm here to do as Jesus would do. And Jesus wasn't just about raising the dead and healing the sick. You know, he had the heart of his servant everywhere he went. And sometimes it is faithfulness in the things that don't even look spiritual that actually qualify for you, for God to release the more dramatic things to us. Remember, we talked about it a few weeks ago, that faithfulness over a few minas, which was a currency in that day, faithfulness over a few things, if you're faithful over a few things, I'll make you ruler over many cities. What on earth does a little bit of money have to do, faithfulness over a little bit of money have to do with qualifying us to rule many cities? It's because of this. The way in which you handle, the manner in which you handle those things that seem insignificant to you, it will be the same way that you'll handle the greater things. It will. Why? Because you carry you with you into the greater things. And it's always you that needs to change. It's always me that needs to change. Do you understand what I'm saying? There is a discipline. There's a way of living that the kingdom of heaven establishes in our life, that if we're faithful over a little, we can live out our lives with a little as though it were much. And it's such a faithfulness that God says, okay, that's the way you've been over that. I can entrust to you much greater things. And so, you know, that does relate to a great degree to the way in which we are really entrusted with the working of supernatural things. So the Holy Spirit came, imparted gifts to the church, and we're going to be looking at those in more depth in the future sessions. But throughout the New Testament, we see the Holy Spirit shaping the lives of people in the direction of ministry in dramatic ways. It was not done apart from the Holy Spirit. And until recently, it seems like that understanding has been largely lacking in the body of Christ. One thing that I've had a sense of personal calling to is to address what I call nominal Pentecostalism. That means those people that are Pentecostal in name only. Understand, if you don't know what it means to be Pentecostal, basically Pentecostals are those that really believe the Spirit of God is present in our day to do the same things that happened in the New Testament. In a nutshell, that's basically what Pentecostals hold to. That he's just as active today doing the same things he did in the New Testament. And so, but I've seen a lot of churches out of a desire to become respectable distance themselves from that. Well, some of you don't know is in 2001 when I left here. See, I was senior pastor here from 1995 to 2001. I'll try to come in for a landing on this. When I left here in 2001, we went into a setting that was supposed to be a Pentecostal church. And the same kind of zeal for the presence of God and the things of God that you hopefully you see in us now was true of us then too. And we went into the setting. It was a large church. People all over the country were applauding the fact, wow, Randy Turpin from Maine has been given this opportunity to minister in this prestigious church. And I went in there and the Spirit of God began to move. people began to fall under the Spirit's power, and it was just a divinely ordained thing. Gifts of the Spirit started manifesting, but nobody knew what was going on. They hadn't seen it before. And so I said, wow, I need to do a teaching series on this. And so on the Wednesday night series, I started into the teaching that I'm doing with you right now. Teaching on the gifts of the Spirit. Some people say you Pentecostals have brought too much focus on the gifts. I don't agree with that. I think that we've brought maybe the wrong kind of focus. We need a different focus. Because what was needed was they needed instruction of what to do with what they were receiving in the Spirit. Some instruction. People get concerned about abuse of the gifts. Abuse of the gifts can be avoided and can be guided with instruction and with pastoral oversight. That which people fear does not need to be feared when the whole leadership is being led of the Spirit. And so I felt the need to bring instruction. I didn't stay at that church long. I was basically approached by leadership there saying, this is not the way we as a church want to be going. So very cordially I said, well, we're very early in our time with you here. If this is not a core value with you, then we will go our own way. So we were only there for a few months. The good news is this. Just a few years after that, I received a letter in the mail. And every elder in the church had signed a letter apologizing, saying, we were wrong. We were wrong. And we should have listened to what you had to say. And I've even been back to visit a good number of those people. And that relationship is healed. It's healed. So I'm not carrying wounds from it. That's what gives me the sense of freedom to talk to you so openly about it. The point I'm making here is that a large part of even the Pentecostal movement has drifted away from what was once core, right at the heart, of embracing the supernatural. We do not have to be afraid of this supernatural God. Christianity is a supernatural religion, if you want to call it that. It does not rely upon the good doings of its constituents to thrive, though we are to do good. It relies upon the very presence and workings of the Holy Spirit to advance us to advance the kingdom through us. Does that make sense to you? So this is what I feel very compelled to bring to you. And over the next several weeks, I hope to do that on a regular basis. We want to go in a time of ministry with us here. But Holy Spirit, I just ask that you would cause a intensified hunger in us for you, Holy Spirit. For you, Holy Spirit. For you're the one who testifies to us of Christ. You're the one who shows us Jesus more perfectly. You're the one who shows us Jesus, that Jesus may show us the Father. Oh, Holy Spirit, we welcome you in this place. We welcome you in our homes. We welcome you, God, in our lives. In our life between Sundays. Holy Spirit, we stir up within us, we cultivate within us this friendship to listen to you more, to walk with you more closely, that God is glorified through our lives every day that we live. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, I just pray right now that beyond any kind of a formal prayer, I just pray, dear God, that you would just pour in without ceasing your Spirit to all who believe in you to a degree that when they end this prayer and they go out these doors, that they will find a new boldness, a new confidence. They would find that awareness of your presence in places where they've not sensed your nearness and presence before. Breakthrough in them and through them. Wherever they go, Lord. In Jesus' name.